from the combined crew of blindandroidusers.com and accessibleandroid.com, it's time for your favorite Android podcast. Kick back now and enjoy another fine episode from these fanboys and gals as they navigate Android from a blindness perspective. And now, here's your crew. Welcome to episode 178 of the Blind Android Users Podcast. We're recording today on May 4th, 2024. I'm Warren Carr.
I'm Austin Pinto from Mumbai.
I'm John Dyer from Virginia.
This is Stan. I'm from Poland.
Karin Kiwan.
Coming up in this episode, we have the In the News or Announcement segment. We then have the Spotlight, which we'll be talking with our guest. For the app of the week, I demonstrate a launcher called Moi, a productivity launcher. And Karin closes this episode with another entry from the commentary screen reader. Guys, how are you doing? John, let's get started with you. How is it in Virginia land?
It's good in Virginia. It's getting to be summer, so I'm not a fan of that. I just also need to say, since Sala isn't here today, he gave me permission to be the handsome one. So I'm very handsome this week. I get more handsome every week.
You got better looking like Sally and I, right? Just make sure that no other ladies are standing close by because, you know, Ash may be a little bit jealous if those guys start winking at you.
It's all relative. The more handsome guys you can get rid of, the more handsome you become. So, yeah, I guess I'm stuck in place today.
Nice. Austin boy, what's going on with you?
It's the same thing. Mumbai is just hot and hot and hot. You know, no, it's not cooling down anytime soon. But we are entered the last month of summer. That is May month. So it's nice a little bit of looking forward to the rains. But last week was a very difficult week, as last Saturday I went for the CT scan. Then I got injected with the dye and I got allergy of that. And Sunday I came down with the fever, which caused a delay in uploading the parts of our episode to YouTube. So that was a little bit sad there for me that there was a delay in YouTube uploads. But other than that, it's everything same.
We're glad you're feeling better and you're here with us, Austin. That's important. We're so thankful. The pretty girl there in Lake Lebanon, I'm talking about Karin. Karin, what's up with you, girl?
I'm doing well. Everything's going well here. And after weeks of searching for USB-C earphones, I thought that I brought the right one. However, it's very bad and I'm facing issues with the microphone. So it's there for replacement and for another waiting for the decent USB-C earphones that I will not be able to get, it seems.
Now, Karin, you want to disclose more what's going on? You probably got something from the other side of the aisle. Maybe that's why it's not good. Just kidding.
Well, you should first see who told me about this one and who was trying to encourage me to bring it, which is a person the podcast here.
It's me. I stand by my recommendation. If you want, for under $20, a nice pair of USB-C earbuds, like wired earbuds with a decent microphone, the EarPods by Apple are a good choice.
Yeah, I totally agree after listening to samples from Samsung. But you should be aware that there are copies, especially in some countries. And some people are just selling the copies as the original ones. And they are actually close. So people should just be aware to not be scammed.
So we know who to blame if you... John, of course. That's who I'm pointing at. So you got one. And you said you're getting it replaced, right? With the real McCoy.
Yeah, it should be replaced on Tuesday. I hope so. So let's see how it will be. If it's not like the one that John has, I'm not going to take it.
Nice. Well, for me, not so much is going on. Last week was a chilly week, but then toward the end, that was yesterday, we got a decent weather where it was like 60, whatever. And now, believe it or not, it's been raining since morning and stuck in the 50s.
You should send all the chili and the rain to Mumbai.
Yeah, I think I should dump some of that stuff on you. And now, the announcement segment. This is a segment dedicated to things we want you to be in the know. And now for this week's episode, here's your announcements. Let's now turn on to the announcement/news segment. Austin, what you got?
So in India, there is a big tension going on because there is a battle or a case between the government and the Supreme Court. Or WhatsApp and Supreme Court, there are a lot of parties involved because the government says that WhatsApp should give some users messages to them and WhatsApp is saying we cannot do that or it will go against our principle of end-to-end encryption. And if the standoff still continues, then they'll have to quit India. So WhatsApp may be looking at exiting India, which will put a lot of millions of people into problems because a lot of people use WhatsApp. The majority of people use WhatsApp in India. Very few use Telegram. And that is the biggest tension because people will have to shift to Telegram then.
You know, I would go as far as saying that if you take India out of WhatsApp, you basically have taken out 50% or maybe 55% of users of WhatsApp. Because let's be honest, people in the U.S. don't use WhatsApp. So it's primarily European, India, you know, Africa, and, you know, Middle East people that primarily use this app the most. And if you take India out of the picture, I don't know what you have left. It's kind of very scary. Another thing we want to talk about will be the good luck from Samsung. You know, Samsung had this thing on their web or their app store that you have to go through them. And I'm glad that this week they decided to bring it to the Play Store. So if you have a phone that qualifies for the Samsung Good Luck, you can go to the Play Store and download it. We'll include that in the show notes in the event that you want to try it and all of that. It's there on the Play Store. And or you could simply just search for it and it will be there.
Something that I want to say here regarding this development is that Samsung is now opening the good luck to more countries. And you know how much I hate geo-restrictions. So it's a great thing. Actually, it's not open to all countries because someone was telling me that it wasn't available in their country. But for me, at least, it wasn't possible to download the good luck from the Galaxy Store. But when I just opened the link that you shared in the BAU group, I was surprised that it was possible to install. And actually, I tested it. I installed the module, and everything is working perfectly well. So this is a great development.
I hope Samsung opens it to other phones as well.
The silly thing about this is that, at least for now, it seems like most of the actual modules are still coming from the Galaxy Store. Although it happens in the background, so if you do download it from the Play Store and then you open up Good Luck and you hit the download button from it within Good Luck, it will download it from the Galaxy Store, but it doesn't take you to the Galaxy Store. So if you don't know about the Galaxy Store, you could still use this stuff.
Which I think is a good thing, because prior to now, you have to have a Samsung account to be able to access, you know, stuff from the Galaxy Store. So I really like this direction that Samsung has chosen, and I hope, though, that they also decide to bring TalkBack directly from the Play Store instead of this idiotic thing that we have to get it from the Galaxy Store. I mean, yeah, if you want to keep it there, though, keep it up to date. I don't have a problem with that. But if you're not keeping it up to date, please, Samsung, just let it come directly from the Play Store, shall we?
Another thing that we want to talk about is the guest has given us some codes for the winners, lucky winners who listen to the podcast. It's for the Quick IFE Pro plan. So if anyone wants the codes, you can email us at contactus@blindandroidusers.com. And by next week's show, we will choose the winners randomly and we'll give your codes by email, and we'll also announce your names in the announcement segment.
Welcome to the Spotlight segment. This is a segment dedicated to interviews of developers or interesting happenings in the world of Android. And now for this episode, here's your Spotlight. Let's move on to our Spotlight segment. And of course, we'll be talking with our guest, Stan Kraglik. Stan, welcome to episode 178. And we're so thankful that you've joined us today to talk about the app that we're looking at. And we're talking about Quickify, an app that I've done a little bit of a review about some weeks ago. And we're glad that you are here to talk about this app that I'm excited about. And we'll get started. And you tell us about it. When did you get started? Why? Of course, you have some of that in the app there as to why you got it started. But always, as a historian, I always like history about apps and everything else. So let's talk about the history of it. And by the way, how are you doing?
Yes, thanks, Karen. Thanks for inviting me here. I'm doing well. And actually, I realized that this is my first experience in a role of developer of Quickify, and I'm glad to be here and to present the history of my app, my plans, and so on.
So, where are you located in Poland?
Yeah, I am living in Krakow. This is the second biggest city in Poland. I am living here with my wife, and currently it's 6 p.m. The weather is pretty good. It's 20 degrees and it's a sunny day.
So let's talk about Quickify. And for those of you who haven't heard my little review of the app, of course, this is an app that's an inclusive app. In other words, does just about everything you're looking for, especially whether it comes to reading your RSS feeds or reading your books or documents and things like that. Stan, let's talk about the formats that this support, and then we'll talk about how I got to know you and how I give you that brutal review about accessibility on that app.
Yeah. So regarding the formats, like one of my goals was to support like as much as possible textual formats in the app, because one of the reasons why I started the project, I tired of switching between different reading apps. Because, for example, usually you have like one app for EPUBs, another app for PDFs, another app for the articles from the internet and RSS. And the goal was to be like one universal ultimate app which support at least all my formats which I'm mostly using. And it seems I done a pretty good job. I had support in my app almost like all popular formats like EPUB, FB2, Text, MD, HTML, and PDFs. And actually, I found it very, very convenient, like convenient feature and convenient like part of the app, because I personally use my app on an everyday basis. maybe I am the main user of this app. I'm starting my day from reading some articles from my feeds. Then I'm reading some books and some other articles. And this app almost replaced all other apps which I'm using. The only one thing which is not ideally implemented, it's support of PDF formats, because PDF, it's a pretty tricky format. It's actually not a textual format, it's a image format. Usually you have a scan of a book inside PDFs, and it's not an easy job to extract the text from the PDF files. And currently I'm working on next level of a way of processing the PDFs. I decide to move the processing of these files from the device to my server. And on my server, I'm currently implementing the most modern and innovative way of processing PDFs using optical character recognition. And it's going pretty smoothly, and I believe I can push this update maybe by the end of this month. And after that, as I see, the app will cover probably all formats and all sources of reading, at least and at least for me. And maybe I also have a question for you. Does app cover all of your formats which you are using on your daily basis, or should I support some formats which I'm not familiar with, and you can point me to that formats, and probably I can support for them also?
Nice question. Maybe this explains why I was having difficulty uploading PDFs, and I was actually going to ask you about that, because I think that it actually opened my PDF, but all I could hear was image, or something like that. And I was also kind of thinking that maybe because it was a big book, it's an old book, St. Thomas of Aquinas or something like that. And it was a huge book, and it took it a long time. And, you know, I kind of finally gave up on it, but because all I could hear was image. And so I was thinking, hey, you know, maybe there's a problem here. And it's one of the things that I was going to talk to you about. And I think I updated my review on the Play Store, and from 1 star when I first got it, because it wasn't reading. I wasn't able to access the way to make it use the TTS output as a blind person. And I was kind of perplexed, because as an app that is intended for people to be able to listen to it while you're working on something as well, I thought that you kind of forgot about us blind people, and that's why I reached out to you. Now, tell us, how difficult was it for you to make this app accessible to where someone like me, who is blind, can finally get to actually use the app to listen to my articles or books and stuff like that? How difficult was it for you to implement that accessibility?
Actually, this is totally true. I didn't put even a small effort to support accessible users, because accessibility is always that stuff which comes with the cost, and especially on Android, it's not an easy thing, and not the most easiest API to work with. And most of developers are ignoring this part of users. And yeah, only after your review on the Google Play Store, I realized that I totally forgot about it. And actually, it's not a super big deal to add at least an initial support for the accessible users. And as I remember, I spent maybe 5 or 7 days working after my day job. And it's not the easiest API to work with on Android, but eventually I was able to provide this initial support. And I still have a lot of items in my list of the next steps of supporting and even developing separate features for this group of users. I honestly didn't have a lot of time during last months to address these issues, but also I believe by the end of this month I will have a free time to address all of them. And like for today's podcast, I also have a bunch of questions for you regarding like my new features. And if you have time to ask it, I would like to get your answers and ideas from you.
So Stan, tell me something. Wouldn't it have been easier had you started though with accessibility in mind as to going back retro and trying to fixing these problems? Would it not have been easier had you started with accessibility right away? Because I think this is one of the problems why sometimes it's very hard to kind of retro and go back and add accessibility to these apps as to starting with accessibility right from the get-go. Do you not think that it would have been easier had you remembered to implement that mm-hmm. when you actually started the app?
In my case, I think no, it will not be easier because when I started my app in 2020, I was developing in especially for my personal use. I was the main user of the app and the main feature requester for the app. And as I remember, I can afford spending extra time back in 2020 to support accessible features and APIs, because like I was not very confident that my app will grow for this size, and I didn't have a plan to release it to Google Play Store to sell some premium features and so on. And no, for my case, no, this was probably impossible to do it from the very beginning. But right now, I actually see the demand for these features, and I see how the users pay their money, pay their dollars for these features and my app. And I see that I can invest time into developing in supporting accessible users and get the profits from that. And this part is motivating me right now. And it seems like the supporting accessible users, it's not a big, it's not a huge deal to make it after some moment of an app, because like you usually don't change a lot in the code when you are supporting accessible APIs. You add some additional properties. Sometimes you do making a little refactoring, but still, this is something that can be added afterwards. And another reason why I only started to do it right now, this reason is you in your community, because like I'm not very familiar with this. I'm not like accessibility user, and I'm not familiar with the way this group of people using the apps, and like without your help and advices and support, that would be much harder to support. And like I see like I'm a good point to making this support for accessible APIs, and it's much easier when you have a users who can test it. Like test new version, give its feedback, and This helped me to iterate faster and release much better quality.
Well, thanks for being so responsive and taking the time to sit down and work on it and fix it for us. We, as you can imagine, we spend a lot of time contacting developers and letting them know their apps mm-hmm. are broken, and this is not always the response we get. So I appreciate you taking the time to learn it. And, you know, like you mentioned, you can't, you know, because you're a sighted user and you don't use TalkBack, there's no way for you to really test it. So yeah, we'll definitely continue to give you feedback on, you know, if it's improving and how it can continue to improve. But I have a question unrelated to that for you. That so the way I've been using it, it's not for like books on my device, but it's just mainly for reading articles, and I'll just use the share sheet to share to Quickify, and it works perfectly for me for that. And I've been looking at all the different voices it offers, and I was curious about something because, you know, you support Microsoft voices, and I was wondering, like, I was under the impression, and I could be wrong, that these cloud services like Microsoft and Google charge you to use some of these voices. Is that true or not? Like, as the developer, do you have to pay Microsoft for these voices, or are they free to use?
No, currently I'm not paying for the TTS voices at all. These APIs from Microsoft, they are free and publicly available, and we all are very happy people because, yeah, we don't have to pay for these pretty good voices. And
okay, yeah. That's awesome. That's good to hear.
But one of my plan is to make my own text generation, voice generation engine. In 2024, we have a huge amount of options open source solutions to take them and make the own engine, which works on my own server. And I see a lot of benefits from that. I totally can provide the same quality as Microsoft Text Services provides or Google Text Services, and also for free, but with additional flexibility and customization. Because the process of generation of voice, you can customize a lot of things during the generation. You can choose emotional context. You can choose the amount of pauses between words or at the end and the beginning of the sentences. And all of that stuff is, I believe, this may be pretty useful for the reading, from the reading perspective. A lot of my users in the app, they are strive to increase their productivity, increasing reading speed. And like, I believe there is some receipt of special customization for TTS engines to provide even better experience reading on high speeds.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear you're working on implementing that kind of customization, because, you know, the two TTS engines I use on my phone are Google's TTS and Samsung's TTS, and I really like how Samsung's sounds, but what annoys me the most about it is how long it pauses between sentences and paragraphs. Like, no matter how fast I speed up the actual speech, it still pauses way too long between sentences. So if you're planning on making that kind of customization available, like, to the user, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And you was using Samsung TTS in the Quickify app, and it still have a lot of pauses. Am I right?
I haven't tried it, but I'm like 99% sure. Yeah, it would still do it because it's just built into the engine.
What John is saying, and this is something I was also thinking about talking to you about, is the fact that on Android, for those of us who are blind, the number of TTS engines that are locally on our phones have kind of sort of diminished over the years. And frankly, we've been looking for people to develop TTS engines that we could have locally on our phones. But so what John was saying is that he's got a couple locally stored TTS engines on his phones, like most of us do. And those are the Google TTS and the Samsung TTS. And the problem he has with the Samsung TTS is the fact that it tends to be a little bit, you know, pausey, giving pauses between maybe sentences or lines or whatever and things like that. And that's what he's talking about. So frankly, if you would be able to actually take one of these things and harness them to be used as a local TTS locally on one's device, that would be a fresh air that a lot of blind people like myself will be so appreciative of. We'll love to see another TTS come to us on Android. And, you know, of course, this thing take time to do. I know we have one. Someone had placed one on the Play Store called the Natural TTS, and it's from Microsoft. He charges 99 cents, and I wouldn't mind seeing someone bringing us a nice TTS engine and charges for it as long as it works, because we even have some that we pay about $6 for, and they're utilizing like Google TTS or Microsoft. So I would love to see that you work on that, and we'll have something to add to our arsenal of TTS engines. So I'm excited about the prospect of having another TTS engine coming to us on the Play Store.
Yeah, but I can say it will be available from the outside of Quickify. Most likely I will limit only for the Quickify users, because like I'm not sure I can afford such amount of computation power on my server. But still, I'm like also very excited to go into this direction, because like TTS engines are so rapidly growing and evolving right now. And like every 2 months I see some new solutions on GitHub or some other resources, and like I trying to find the time to play with them, to test them. And it seems like all of the TTS which we have on Android are a little bit outdated. And yeah, I hope at least in this year I will able to find the time to work on that.
I have a question, actually two questions, and they are now three because you mentioned the TTS engine thing. So first of all, because you were talking about the TTS engine and the available voices or voice generation services. Okay, so are you talking about the offline TTS engines or the online one? I mean, if we are talking about it, an online TTS engine, that wouldn't be an ideal solution for the screen reader stuff. So it would be good for an app like Quickify, but not for screen reader stuff. So, or are you talking about the solutions like Piper Voices? I think you heard about Piper Neural Voices that are now available on Windows, for example, for NVDA, but they are not available on Android, and they work offline.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And most likely the first version will work only online, because it's much, much easier to run this engine on like some specific server with a lot of hardware. And yeah, running voices offline, it's a much harder task. But seems still we will have some evolution in this part, I believe in this year, maybe next year, not from Quickify maybe, but from other developers, because like the hardware is still getting faster. Hardware getting like some special chips for this computation type which needed for the TTS generation. Yeah, I also like waiting for this moment when someone will make a good offline sounding TTS. Like for some reason, Google and other big companies like are not very probably successful in this part for some reason. I'm not sure why. Like I remember like how sounds Samsung TTS on my last phone, and that was horrible. And that was also only 2 years ago, and it was sounding like something from the like beginning of the century. I don't know, and I'm not sure why they don't pay like a lot of attention to these technologies.
Yeah,
and probably this is good. This is a good place for third-party players to introduce their solutions and maybe take some money from that, but still have something which sounds very beautiful on local devices.
Yeah, unfortunately, actually, even the traditional players are now leaving Android. So like Vocalizer. And the problem is that there is now a gap between what is available online and what is utilized offline. So I think this gap, when it is narrowed and when something is available offline that is both responsive and in the same time that has a good voice, good quality voice, this would be, I think, the step forward that we are all waiting for. And now, regarding my other question, which is also, actually, I have two questions. I'll ask them together. First of all, you talked about the open source voice generation service that you're going to use with Quickify. Does it support multiple languages? Is it a multilingual voice generation? And the other question is related to Quickify, which is the comparison between the Pro and the free version. So what is available in the Pro version that the free users couldn't get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for your questions. And like regarding the first one about TTS engines, yeah, the goal is to support at least maybe top 10 languages, at least English, Spanish, German, Russian, Polish, and so on. And usually these open source TTS have such supports, not for the all languages of the world, but still top 10 should be supported for sure. And regarding the another questions of pro features, I am actually currently working on a refactoring of this like premium features functionality in the app. I'm planning to introduce two different monetization plans. One will be called Pro, and another one, more advanced, will be called probably Pro Plus AI or something like that. So I want to introduce like one very simple and cheap level of functionality, and another one which are more advanced and like more costly for me. But some users, I believe, will glad to pay this money and get some AI functionality in the app, like summarization, question answering, and something like that. So currently in the Pro, what Pro features Quickify Pro offers? First one is unlimited reading speed. In the free version, the speed is limiting around 200 words per minute, maybe 220 words. And the Pro version have like unlimited power of this reading speed. You can use probably up to 3,000 words per minute. It's not very useful, but still the app can generate and work that fast. Another feature is folder limit. In the free version, Quickify allows you to create, as I remember, 6 or 8 folders. And if you want more, the Quickify Pro is for you.
I think one of the most important ones that the Pro gives one, and it's what I demonstrated in my demo of the app, is the ability to listen with the phone off. Because for me as a blind person, if I'm listening to an article or reading a book, I don't need to have my phone left on in order to be able to do that. And it's just not only me who is blind, but let's say you are in the car, you're driving, or you're doing something, cooking food in the kitchen, like the part about the food, or maybe you're in the shower, you got it on the speaker on the counter and listening to books or whatever. I don't need my phone on. And this is where the pro version comes in, because with the free version, you're not going to be able to use it with your screen shut off. And that's one of the main reasons, one of the big ones for me personally as a blind person, that I think I would push for the pro for, because with that, you're able to listen to your stuff without the need of leaving your phone on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, personally, I don't really like this limitation. It's not very friendly, but as you said, it's like a very powerful feature to attract users to pay for the pro version. I'm realizing right now this is like the most useful feature from the pro version. And honestly, I would like to shift this to some another feature. Maybe to some more friendly and more useful. Maybe I will think about it. I want to also make an announcement regarding the new plan, which I'm going to introduce. The main features of new plan will be interaction with the GPT AI models, like ChatGPT or something like that. And I want to give users ability to utilize this power of big language models, to ask some questions, to get summarization, to help with sourcing the reading library, with like generating a text for the articles, for example, to like maybe to calculate an interesting score of an article. Like this is what I personally want to have in Quickify, because I have a lot of RSS feeds in my app, and I'm usually like falling in these numbers of articles which I'm getting every day, and I would like to have some assistant which will sort that for me and find the most interesting articles basing on my personal preference.
Talking about articles and all of that, let's touch lightly on the part of RSS feeds. I know RSS feeds are kind of going the way of the dodo, but then, you know, still they're still being used. And Quickify supports those RSS feeds. Would you want to talk a little bit about that process?
I implemented the RSS feeds not so long ago. I made first release of this feature back to December of 2023, so around half of a year ago. And this was the feature which I want in first place. And I was waiting for a moment when I will have a time to implement it. And actually, I really like how I built Quickify from the very beginning, because adding support for RSS feeds was super easy stuff. I already had folders. I already had logic to work with a big amount of documents, and supporting RSS feeds was like connecting some plugin into Quickify app, and this works very good. And I'm also thinking about supporting different formats of feeds, for example, the feed from Twitter, feed from maybe Instagram, Facebook, something like that. I will try to experiment with that, to gather feeds from my social media, maybe even from some video applications like YouTube, some podcast applications, and maybe it will be very convenient to have not only textual format inside the app, but also the visual format, the audio format like podcasts and something like that.
It does have a lot of potential there when one looks at it. Like I said, it's an app that's an inclusive app. In other words, it's an app that one could be using for a lot of things. And really, you're taking a lot of time to do this. And I'm particularly excited about it, and more so especially about the TTS that we talked about earlier. I'm looking forward to a time in point where you will actually have a TTS engine. And I can proudly say we got a TTS engine from Stan Kraklik, and something that my friends will also be excited about. So we're looking forward to one of these things. And frankly, talking about the RSS feeds and all of that, would it be easy for you to maybe sometime down the line, maybe integrate our Bookshare? You know, those of us who are blind, you know, we utilize Bookshare. Some of us get books from Bookshare, and it'll be just nice to be able to access my Bookshare books from within Quickify, and versus say, hey, I want to go to the Bookshare website or use the Bookshare reader. Of course, it's there, but the more tools we have, the better it is for us, because we have choice as to which one to use, most especially when one misbehaves, one has the ability to turn to the other. So I'm looking forward to seeing if that's a possibility. I know we do have some apps that have that capability, and it may not be too hard for you to do. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I also like this idea. I think this should be a pretty affordable feature to implement inside the Quickify app. I also had some such ideas regarding other sites with books and maybe even some third-party services which would like to become a partner of Quickify and provide their books directly into Quickify app. And I definitely will take a look into this Bookshare website. I actually have a little idea how to make it. And yeah, we'll try to do my best.
And while you're at it, you might as well look at the Gutenberg side as well, because, you know, some of us like the classics and all of that. And so one could easily get a book there because some of those apps that are dedicated for those things don't often work well. And knowing that Quickify works well, it wouldn't be a bad idea to kind of link it to where people could get free books from, say, Gutenberg.
Yes, sounds very nice. Yeah, we'll definitely make a try to do it.
So I have 2-3 points. One is, I think, about the development of local TTS. I don't think it will take a lot of computation power on the server, because the app will be on the Play Store and all your server needs to host is the voice data. So it will take a lot of downloads from the server, because once the user installs the app, they have to download the voice data. Another question I was coming to was the AI question that you answered in your premium plan, the new plan. You can talk about it a little more. And the third question or feature request is maybe in the pro plan, the professional, the premium plan, can there be an audio player for podcasts, since you are supporting RSS feed for podcasts? So can there be an audio player that supports chapter markers?
Yeah, definitely. If the term of use of these podcast services will allow me to host this podcast inside the app, I will definitely do it. I also like this idea. I also the podcast user, podcast listener, and yeah, personally, I also want to have that inside the app. And like regarding the AI question, like the idea to make an interface of interaction with these large language models. There are a lot of providers which gives you access to that models. Like the most familiar one is OpenAI with their ChatGPT models. There's also another players which providing these models with a different set of features. And yeah, I have a working prototype on my phone, and I'm playing with it every day, and I definitely see a lot of potential of using LLM models for the reading, for the note taking, and for some other stuff. And I also have a questions for you, which related to this AI stuff. What do you think? Would it be useful for you to have a voice input in the app? For example, you can perform some actions using your voice, like open me this article, which I read yesterday, or like find me something to read from the feed from the last week, and so on. Like, what do you think is voice input will be useful for you?
Yeah, it will absolutely be useful, not only for visually challenged people, but people with other disabilities. And now as ChatGPT started supporting voice chats, we can do voice input, which will be very useful. I use ChatGPT a lot to tag our YouTube videos and all those.
I think it would be a good idea, really, to have that, because the whole idea, when I'm looking at these things, I'm talking about or looking at the ability to do a hands-free thing. And this is why the voice input comes in handy, because I don't need to go find a button and tap on it to do this and that. Instead, I could just say, hey, you know, I tap on one button and say, do X, Y, Z, and it's there, right there, and it does it for me. So it's a good idea. If something like that is doable, I'll say go for it, because it's not only going to be useful to just us, the blind people, like Austin says, but this is something that could be useful to a lot of people, regardless whether they have disabilities or not. And some people that have other disabilities will also find this as a very handy tool. So yeah, it'll be good to have that implemented when you get to it.
And not only tapping the button, I think if it's possible, I don't know if it's possible, we can say things like, okay, quick, if we find so and so thing to read, then that will be very nice, especially the pro or the premium plan where the phone is unlocked and on a counter and we are doing other things.
Yeah, I see. And also probably it would be very useful to ask some questions on the go regarding the content you are reading. Like, for example, you are reading some fiction book and you have a character with the name you don't remember, and you can ask, like, who is that? When this character was first introduced, and so on. And like in my imagination, the Quickify will able to like to give you an answer in the moment regarding this, because like Quickify knows like it has the whole content of a book you are reading right now. It knows like the exact point inside the book which are you reading right now, like the exact paragraph. And yeah, I see a lot of potential also in this feature, and yeah, we'll try to make some experiments with that. Probably I will post. I want to start to beta testing my features inside the Quickify community. I will make a separate build with new features, like to test them, to get the feedback. And maybe this AI feature will be the first one which I will roll out on the testing channel.
So is there a Quickify community, and how does the user join them?
Yeah, we have several community places. First one in Telegram, second one in Discord. Third one, a small one in Twitter, and another one on reddit.com.
I have one more comment regarding the AI. You may already be planning this or something similar, but what we use these AI models for, meaning like ChatGPT, Gemini, what they're really good at for us is describing photos. And I think it would be great if, like, say you're reading a PDF that has photos in it, if you could just have it have the AI, you know, if you're on the premium subscription, have it automatically describe kind of like the short version of the description, but then you could stop it and say, can you give me a more specific description of that photo? And then it could give you a little bit more details describe it to you in words.
Yeah, it's amazing feature. Yeah, it will be a killer feature of Kickify. And definitely awesome. Maybe in the first or another version of Kickify, yeah, I will do that.
Sounds great.
So like what John wants to say is that let's say the PDF is a book and the book has a photo of a person looking out of the window, then the AI says that this person is looking out of the window and you can like stop it and ask for more description. That is what John means by the comment.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I understand it. Yeah. I will try like to make some like good user flow for that, to not to not pause the main reading, but still have an ability to get a description of an image.
Or maybe have it be a setting that you as the user, you could just say, you know, I'm a blind user, so always describe images with more detail. Something like that would be nice.
Yep. That's a great idea.
You know, you guys are talking about very important issues here, because I'm looking at me listening to a book or something like that. I've been reading a lot, especially some of the old books, historical stuff. I just finished a book about Erasmus and Luther yesterday. And, you know, a lot of those are European, German, and Dutch names and things like that. It would be nice to employ that power of the AI. For example, let's say I'm reading and, you know, Stan's name is in there, Kartlik, and I could say, spell that word Kartlik, and it'll just spell it for me. So I can see the potential of this implementation, as it will make things easier for me because I don't have to stop the read out loud and then go try to find a line that contains that word and try to find what the spelling is. So I can see a lot of potential in here, most especially when this thing gets implemented. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I also getting more excited about it because I see how this will change the way of reading, even for the like visual people and for the people with visual impairment.
Well, Stan, thank you so much for taking your time to come on and talk about Quickify. We're so excited about it. I know for sure that I am excited about the app. And ever since I got it, I've read like 15 books, believe it or not. And so how do people get hold of you, or should people just contact you via the email address that is found on the play page, or is there another way of which people can get hold of you?
The email address from the Google Play page is like the most faster way to get into contact with me. The email is contact@quickify.com. And also you can join our community inside Telegram channels, inside Discord, Twitter, and Reddit.
Thank you so much for coming on. And before you go, tell me, when something big comes on, like this AI stuff that we talked about and all of that, would you be willing to come back again and talk with us? Because you would like, you know, follow-ups and things like that. Would you be willing to come back and talk with us once you've done some other implementations into the app?
Yeah, for sure I will come another time. Yeah, it's a good place to share my ideas, to get a feedback. And yeah, thanks for having me here. This is my first experience in a role of developer of Quickify, and yeah, I would like to continue to go in this direction.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye. It was nice meeting you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, nice to meet you all.
Up next is the App of the Week segment. This is a segment dedicated to app demonstrations. Should you have an app that you would like to demonstrate for our listeners, feel free to send us the recording of such an app demo to contact us at blindandroidusers.com. And now for this week's episode, here's your App of the Week. Up next is the app of the week. And this week I'm talking about a launcher called Moy, M-O-Y-E, or Moy Productivity Launcher. Hi, for episode 178 app of the week, this is demonstrating a launcher simply called Moy Productivity Launcher, M-O-Y-E. So it could be Moy or Moy. I do want to mention here from the start, though, that this is a very simplistic app. In other words, this launcher does not have any home screens, nor does it have an app store. Instead, there's only one single page, one single home page, and that only contains a couple items. You have the clock, and at the bottom, you have a search field. If you want to launch an app, you just type the name of that app right there in that search field, and it will show you the app you're after. Now, with that out of the way, though, I also want to mention here that as soon as you launch the app, it will change your wallpaper to the dark mode. And even after uninstalling the app, your wallpaper will still be in a dark mode, something John would like because it looks like inverted colors. And in order to be able to get back to your regular normal wallpaper, you'll have to go choose the wallpaper that you had before prior to installing this Moy Productivity Launcher. With that said, today I'm using my Galaxy S23 Plus and running One UI 6.1 with TalkBack 14.1 running the multilingual TTS engine. Let's get started now that I'm on the home screen, and I'll move to the icon for Moy or Moy Launcher.
Moy Launcher.
Let's go ahead and tap.
Moy Launcher. 4:14. The 3rd of May 24. Swipe left for settings greater than, out of pager.
There we go. The first thing we heard was the time and the month, and then it tells us to swipe left for the settings. In other words, if you want to go to the settings of the app, you swipe from the right side of the phone to the left, and that will take you to the settings of the app. Now, below that, going to the bottom, we've got
Set as Default Launcher button.
We have a button that says Set as Default, and then below that is an edit field.
Edit box, type here. Detected. Text, type here.
That's it. You simply type here to look for the app that you want. Let's tap on Set as Default.
Set as Default Launcher button. Default Home App. Navigate up button.
Tapping on that, of course, brings up a dialogue basically asking me to choose which I would like to make my default home launcher. And I've got
Default Home App. Not selected. Radio button. Moy Launcher. 1 of 3. Enlist 3 items.
I'm going to choose that for now.
Moy Launcher. 4:16. The 3rd of May 24. Swipe left for settings greater than, out of list.
And there we are on my home screen with just one single home screen with not a single app. And if I want to go to that settings, now I'll swipe from right to left.
4. Edit box. Moy Launcher v1.0.15+15.
We are now in the settings, and starting from the top, here's what we got.
Advanced settings. Manage your extensions.
We've got advanced settings, manage your extensions, moving down.
On, dark mode, switch.
By default, as I indicated, it's dark mode by default. And if you want it to be a light mode, then you just uncheck that. Now, below that, though, we've got 4 buttons going from left to right. And these are colors that are not spoken. So, for example, if I put my finger on one of those.
Unlabeled.
And I'll move to the right.
Unlabeled.
So, like I said, there are 4 of those. There's like aqua color, pinkish reddish, whitish looking. And below that, we got
More apps from Nox Chat. Try our other apps.
Next.
Rate Moy Launcher. Rate us on Play Store.
Next.
Support at noxchat.in.
And that's the last item in the settings. That's it. Let's go back though to the top and see what it has in the advanced settings.
Advanced settings. Manage your extensions.
There we go.
On, search bar. Search bar is enabled. Switch.
Next.
Off. Swipe down for notifications. Swipe down on the home screen to open the notification panel. Switch.
In other words, if you enable this, you can just swipe down from the middle of the phone and it'll pull down your notification. Next.
On. Quick search focus. Focus on the search bar when you swipe up on the home screen. Switch.
Next.
Off. Hide clock. Hide the clock from the home screen. Switch.
Next.
Off. 24 hours date format. Format the date in 24 hours format. Switch.
Next.
Off. Disable swipe to settings. To open settings again, tap on the clock on home screen. Switch.
In other words, if you enable this one, then once you swipe from left to right, it's not going to bring you to the settings. In order to be able to get to the settings, then once you've enabled this, you'll have to tap the clock if you want to go to the settings. Next.
Hidden apps. Apps that are hidden from search results.
So in other words, if you tap here, it's going to show you a list of apps that you could choose which ones to hide and which ones not to hide when you're searching for an app. Next.
Pinned apps. Apps that are pinned to the top of search results.
The same thing applies to apps that you would like to be pinned at the top of the search results. You could choose the ones that you want to be in that condition once you go in here. Next.
On. Math Evaluator. Basic math evaluation from the search bar, e.g. 44*34 to 159, switch.
That's the math that I wasn't too good at back in school. Next.
On, focus mode. Type a duration to start focus mode, e.g. 30 meters or 1 hour 20 minutes, switch.
Next.
On, Google search autocomplete. Show autocomplete suggestions from Google as you type in the search bar. Switch.
And that's the last item in the settings. I think that someone like John would really like this because everything is dark and looks like you have inverted colors and things like that. That's all that there is to Moi or Moi Productivity Launcher. Thanks for listening. And now, the G-Show, or what Austin refers to as the Joshua Screen Reader, a.k.a. Commentary Screen Reader. And if you're me, the Confused Screen Reader. This is a segment dedicated to some new feature of the great Commentary Screen Reader. And now for this week's episode, here's your new feature of the Commentary Screen Reader. And now, turning on to our commentary screen reader segment, Karen brings us another entry in this series. Karen?
Today I will talk about the additional timer-related sound effects and the answer and end call functions that were added in the most recent G-Show stable version released on May 1, 2024. The additional timer-related sound effects are used in preset timer, and in the stopwatch. You create a folder called timer in the sound scheme that you are using. Inside it, you add folder called minute and a folder called hour. You use the same structure that is used in the clock additional sound effects. So you add in the minute from 0 to 59, like 0, 1, 2, 3, and in the hour from 0 to 23. Let's see. I'll go to CX File Explorer.
CX File Explorer. CX File Explorer.
I will open the G-Show main folder, which is in Chinese.
Toggle selection. ACRphone.zip. Top. 21 items.
And I'll open the sound folder. Sounds folder.
Note currently playing track 8. Note 7. Top. Toggle 6. Resources 10. Top. Sounds 6 items.
Then the sound scheme that I'm using right now, which is Jishuo Mix, it was shared by Master B before in the Jishuo English group.
Sounds, Roman, sounds 150, Jishuo Mix 114 items.
I already created a folder called Timer here.
Timer 2 items.
Inside it.
Minute 24 items. Top minute six, toggle selection.
Those are the clock effects that are in the Balakrishnan 2.0 sound scheme. I used those in the clock-related sound effects demo. Now let's go quickly to the Jishuo settings.
Main menu. Jishuo settings. Feedback settings. Jishuo Plus. More. Tools. Advanced settings.
Advanced settings.
Operation article reading mode set. Timer settings.
And timer settings.
Timer settings. Active hours 8. Announce with speech. Timer interval 1 minute.
Timer interval, which is after how many minutes should Jishuo speak when you're using a stopwatch. This will mean that now I set this to 1 minute. So after each minute, it will tell me the past time. So it will be 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, like that. And if I'm using the preset timer, after each minute, it will tell me what I asked it to say after each minute. I specify this from
preset time, default action, or preset timer announcement settings, elapsed time, remaining time, current time.
Preset timer announcement settings. And I specified the elapsed time, remaining time, and the current time. So after each minute, it will tell me elapsed time, remaining time, and current time. If there are sounds available in the timer, it will use those sounds and it will not talk. So they will be used instead of the speech. And for the current time, it will use the clock related sound effects. So it will use the sound effects that are in the clock folder for the current time. Let's enable a 3 minutes timer now.
Main menu. Timer settings, preset timer. 0 hours, 3 minutes, label.
Enable timer.
1, 2.
It's 22:41.
So it used the 1 minute, because here we have 0 hours and 1 minute. And it then played the sound of the 2 minutes, because it's the remaining time. And then it played the sounds from the clock folder, which are for the current hour and minute.
CX 2 minutes 62 items. 1.
It's 22:42.
You have to pay attention to something, that it if it doesn't find the sound related to the remaining time, it will only play the sound related to the elapsed time, and it will not play anything else, and it will not announce the speech as well. But if it doesn't find the elapsed time sound, it will speak everything. So it will use speech for everything without using the...
Stop timer. 3 minutes 00 seconds elapsed. Now it's 22:43.
Without using the sounds that you have added, even if the remaining time and the current time sounds are present. Now let's move to answer and end calls functions. Two functions were added to the main menu. Also, you can assign gestures to them to answer and end calls. We all know that we can use the play pause gesture or function to answer calls and to end them as well. which is assigned by default to the double tapping with two fingers. But with Android 14, this doesn't work with WhatsApp. It was working with Android 13, but it doesn't work with Android 14. The new functions include WhatsApp as well. So if you assign a gesture or use the function from the main menu to answer the call, it will answer the WhatsApp call. And it will also, when you are in a call, it will turn on the speaker, the loudspeaker, and the end call should end the call. On Android 14, the WhatsApp incoming call screen is not a full screen window. So it takes only a small portion of the screen, but the functions will work even if this is the case. So they should work. So this should help in making answering WhatsApp calls easier. Also, you should note that in order to end the call, you should be in the call window. You shouldn't be in your on your home screen or in another app. You should be in the ongoing call window for the end call to work. If you don't want to use the functions and you use the shortcut gestures to answer and end incoming calls, you find the setting in the operation settings, disable default, gesture default settings, then shortcut gesture settings. You can use those gestures to answer and end calls. And they will work also with WhatsApp. Also, I tested, but on Android 13, the Telegram app, and the functions were able to answer and end the Telegram calls. Thank you for listening.
All good things must end. Thus, it's curtain drawing time, bringing us to the close of this week's episode. Coming up, though, we give you information on how to get hold of us. Well, that's it, folks, about this week. As we bring this to a close, Austin, though, is standing by to give you information on how you can get hold of us.
To contact us, you can send an email to contactus@blindandroidusers.com. You can join a mailing list by sending an email to blindandroidusers+subscribe@groups.io. You can join our Telegram, Facebook, Discord, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. The links for everything will be at the bottom of the show notes and also in the video description of the YouTube channel. And also the links are in the websites panel of the YouTube channels.
And with that, we come to the end of this week's episode. From me, it's goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Blind Android Users Podcast. Until we see you next week, don't forget to leave us your comments and suggestions via our email contact or using any of our social media sites. Have a great week.